the matter is that whether you realize it or not, we're at war. Young kids, your generation is at war. Is at war. Now you may say, well, I don't necessarily see the bombs going off. I don't see the shooting and killing, and I don't see all that on with my naked eye. And it's not a physical war right here in the United States yet, but I'm telling you what, we are in a season of spiritual warfare like we've never seen before. Amen. And I know that it's not just about adults in the house. It's not just that the adults and our families go through spiritual warfare, but also I understand that you children go through spiritual warfare. And I understand that if you do not understand that you are in a spiritual warfare right now, then you are already defeated. Do you hear me, young kids? You are already defeated. And tonight when I was working on getting this message together and putting it together, I come across a video of Paul Harvey. Anybody know Paul Harvey? All right, I come across the video of Paul Harvey. And he had a commentary, per se, that if he was the devil, what he would do. And it was just a plan, right? He's saying, if I was the devil, I would, right? And he lays out the plan. We're just going to play it real quick tonight, if April could. Because I want you guys to hear something. Because before she plays it, I want you to understand one thing. This commentary was wrote in 1965, right? Now, I'm going to go somewhere tonight. And I want you kids to understand the battle plan that is against your life from the enemy. This here was written by Paul Harvey, but it was written in 1965 as the devil's battle plan. Let's play it.
If I were the devil, if I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey. Good day.
You're okay. All right. You know, we heard that commentary from Paul Harvey from 1965 when he wrote that. And if you stop and you listen, pretty much everything that Paul Harvey said at that time is pretty much has come to play. Right? 58 years ago. Right? And if I could go one step further and say, you know, if I was the devil, what I would do is I would confuse the next generation of young kids. I would get them so confused that they don't know what gender or what sexual orientation they are, whether they're a cat or a dog, where they don't know their true identity, right? You can go one step further and say, if I was the devil, right, what's his plan of attack? You see, we go through everyday life not even realizing that we are under attack. You see, everybody knows in John 10:10 that the Bible says that Satan comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So he has a tactical plan, not only for the United States, a tactical plan for this world. He's got a tactical plan to destroy each and every single one of you. You see, a military unit would never even think about going into war without first coming up with a battle plan. Without first setting some parameters on how, what they're going to do, set up a battle plan to conquer their enemy. You see, it would be never something that they would just, oh, okay, we're going to go to war. But you see, so many Christians now say we're in spiritual warfare, and they go to war without a battle plan. Without a game plan or an agenda that you can attack the enemy when he attacks you. So what happens in regards? We have a nation that's simply going through what Paul Harvey said that would happen. We have a society now that's being so washed out with the world right now that young kids don't even know what's true and what's holy and what's pure. We have a whole generation of kids coming up accepting lies as the truth. But the Bible says that the truth will set you free, right? You see, so in order for the truth to be freed from this battle that we are going and that we're in right now, right? You see, the enemy uses the same tactics over and over. How many of you in here play sports? How many of you are good at sports? Right. How many of you, when you've ever participated in a sport, that you've watched the opposing team's videos or you've watched what plays they use? How many of you ever watch? Okay, we got a few. I know some of you are like, okay, if we're going to be playing Greensburg or we're going to be playing Batesville, if you're from Laurel, or you're going to be playing Laurel, or you're going to be playing Brookville, you as a team are going to sit down and they're going to say, okay, this is what they do. This is their plan to win this event, right? As young kids, you're going to plan. You're going to say, okay, so-and-so's their star player. Right? He's the one that's hitting all the threes, right? So we need to put an extra man on him and guard him, right? And it's the play that your coaches will lay out, right? You guys understand what I'm saying, right? But spiritually, we go in defeated. And so much of the times, our young kids are defeated without even realizing they've been defeated. So in order for us to win the battle, well, and I'm getting somewhere in just a little bit, but in order for us to win the battle, we must what? We must first come up with a strategic battle plan. How are we going to navigate when the enemy comes against us? How are we gonna keep ourselves when the enemy tempts us, right? A battle plan is simply a strategy to exploit the enemy's weakness and to maximize your strengths so that you can what? Win, right? How many of you like to win, right? I hate being a loser, right? If I'm going to do something, I want to win. I don't want to lose at it. Hey, second place is first losers, right? I want to win. That's right. He says, if you ain't first, you're last. I'm not saying that's a good reference from what movie it came from, but I'm saying that that's a good phrase. If you ain't first, you're last. It's talking about being victorious and winning. Now, first step is for this generation to realize that they're at war. Okay, I'll break it down in baby steps, right? The enemy wants to keep you blind. He wants to keep you to the point where you don't even recognize what is evil and what is good anymore. You're going by what everybody else says and not by what the Word of God says, right? So if you are going to establish a battle plan for your life for when the enemy comes against you, now, if you are going to win, right? We talked about winning. Now, I got one other thing to say. I've always heard from the very beginning, it says, oh, the battle's already won, right? We can turn our Bibles to Colossians 2:15, and it talks about how Jesus has already won the battle, right? He already won the battle. He's triumphing over them in it, right? He already won the battle. So does that simply mean that because Jesus already won the battle that we can just sit back in our easy chairs and say, oh, well, this is all good? No, because if we did, we would all be taking a whipping. How many of you like whippings? Nobody in this room likes a whipping. But still yet, the enemy is basically keeping us defeated and whipping us. Right? He's keeping us down. So, this is what it is. If we just listen to that Paul Harvey phrase. Now, we've seen that was wrote in 1965. We know the enemy's plan. Basically, Paul Harvey laid his plan out there on how he would take over this world, how the enemy would try to defeat the next generation, right? We've seen that. That's the enemy's plan, right? It's the certain strategies to bring you down. How many of you have ever known that really good person that, or that one preacher that was really successful and because of sin or something completely wiped out their whole entire ministry? Right? Completely destroyed their whole life and their whole family and everything else. Right? Because the enemy knew that if he could get them, he could destroy the next generation. Right? So he attacked them, went for the jugular, right? And tried to destroy them. But if we as Christians can understand what the enemy's tact and playbook is, guess what? We have a greater chance to be victorious, right? You see, the enemy wants to keep you defeated. Take everything that is rightfully yours. Some say the enemy is already defeated and we should just lay down, right? He's already defeated. Jesus already defeated him. But we have got to learn to stand up against the devil's schemes. We've got to take back over our families, our schools. We've got to take back over this next generation of young kids. Why do you think I'm so excited that there's almost 60 or 50 some kids here tonight, right? We're taking back over the next generation and teaching them that there is hope and what is right and what is wrong, right? You see, one of the things that I find really, that we can look in James 4, verse number 7. This kind of contradicts what the Bible says when it says it is defeated, right? Because Satan is already defeated, but we still have to resist the devil. It says, submit yourselves unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You see, just because Jesus has already won the war doesn't mean that we can just lay down. We have got to pick our sword up and fight, right, against the enemy. So how many warriors do I have in here tonight? All right. Amen. Right? We got some warriors in the house. We got some armies in the house that's going to stand up and rise and say, you know what? I'm going to take back over this next generation. I'm not going to stay defeated and broken and beat down, right? We're going to take it over and we're going to give hope and life. And who? In Jesus Christ. You know, 2 Corinthians, it says that the use of our weapons are our warfare, right? In Luke 10:19, it says there's no need to give authority over all the power of the enemy, right? We have a power over the enemy. We have to come up with a plan. Our church has to come up with a plan because we've been under warfare, right? Let's just be real. And there's times that things happens and we got to say, you know what? That's nothing more than a lie from the pits of hell. That's nothing more than an enemy and a devil coming against us, right? But it's not just the church, right? I mean, sure, Paul Harvey said the enemy's going to take an attack against the church first. But let me tell you where it starts. It starts in your home with your mom and dads and their relationship, right? It starts in your families. And then it trickles down and it comes into the church, right? Because the enemy knows that if he can destroy the core nucleus, right? If he can destroy the core nucleus of a family, he can take over the churches. He can take over the schools. He can take over. He's got free reign, right? But if we have some mom and dads that stand up and say, you know what? Satan, get behind me. You have no power over me. Right, you have no power over my family. You have no power over my husband or my wife. You have no power over my kids. And you start claiming that in Jesus' name. You start pleading the blood of Jesus over our homes. And that's when you're going to see a difference. Young kids, you think that's just for mom and dad, but it's not. It's for you too. You start going in every day and you start claiming the blood of Jesus over your schools, over your friend group, over your friends' parents or their family situation. Because I know the enemy has come against some of you guys and tried to destroy you. Come against your families. Come against your mom and dads. Come against your grandmas and grandpas. The next thing you know, before long, it's this huge warfare, right? In the midst of our own family. The same people that we should be loving and cherishing now becomes the battleground, right? But we as Christians have got to learn to stand up against the enemy. We've got to learn to rebuke him and send him back to the gates of hell where he came from, right? We have got to come up with a plan of attack. You know, if we can, you know, we study God, right? We study his characteristics. We read his Bible. We study the things about God. But you see, we can also study the devil. We can study, you know, there's a lot of scriptures that talks about how the enemy comes against it. You know, how his plan of attack is to bring disobedience from us, right? And the military calls this intel, right? The military calls this intelligence. It says that you can sit back from a situation and look at a thing and say, okay, if this happens, then this is going to happen, right? It's kind of like cause and effect, right? We can see the patterns of the enemy, how he tries to trick us, how he tries to manipulate situations and what he tries to do. You know, I was reminded in Scripture a little bit when Jesus, when he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And he was in the desert, right? And Jesus fasted. But one of the things that I found very interesting about that is that Satan himself tried to trick Jesus, right? He come against him. Let me find it here in the scripture, and I'll read it. Matthew 4, verse number 1. It says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit unto the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Let me tell you what. If the devil's going to tempt Jesus, what's he going to do to you? He's going to tempt you, right? He's going to tempt you. He's going to tempt you to sin, right? The devil is a father of lies. That's biblical. It says, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards anhungered. Meaning, can you imagine fasting? I don't know. I know Joe just went through a fast a little bit, and you know some of us fast, and I'm telling you, you know, you fast for a little bit without food, and I'm telling you, you'll see just what you're made of, right? You, I mean, hungry. I can only imagine what Jesus, when he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, how he felt when he come out. No doubt, he knew, the enemy knew one thing. He knew that he would be weak. That was a season in Jesus' life when he was fasting. He thought he would be physically weak. But let me tell you what, he might have been physically weak, but he was spiritually strong. So how do you get a plan together, right? You fast. Young kids, you hear me? You got warfare in your home? How do you do it? How do you resist the devil? You fast. That's biblical. Jesus fasted, and then when he come out of that fast, he says, but he answered and said unto him, okay, and it says, and then he, and when the tempter came to him, he said, for it, if thou be the Son of God, command that the stones be made bread. But he answered and said, if it is written, it is written. Jesus says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Right? And it says, then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, the devil's trying to fight him with his own word here, right? So I'm going to tell you, how do you win against the devil's schemes? With the word of God. You need to get into it, young kids. You need to study it. You need to read it. You need to study it. And I mean study it, because the enemy is real. And if you don't know the word of God, then how can you fight? How can you fight against the schemes without having that weapon, right? So one of the weapons to fight against the enemy, one of the plans is, right, if an army's going to go into war, what are they going to take? They're going to bring in the artillery, right? They're going to bring in the tanks. They're going to bring in the nukes. They're going to bring in the bombers, right? They're going to come in. Guess what? Those weapons of us is the word of God. We've seen here where he says this. He says, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in thy hands they shall bear thee up, lest any times thou shalt dash thy foot against the stone. You see, Satan is mocking God's word right here. How many of you know that most of the times, if we don't read God's word, Satan will know God's word better than what we know God's word? And that's a problem, because if that's the case, then we leave ourselves defeated. And Jesus, defenseless, thank you. Jesus said unto him, it is written. So he's fighting back with the word of God here. He says, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceedingly high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and of the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. He's saying, if you want to worship me, I'll give you all this stuff, right? How many of you know that nowadays it's the same way in our modern days? How many people give up the word of God and give up a true relationship with Jesus to worship materialistic junk, right? And that's what the devil's promising. He's painting a real good picture. Hey, you want to worship me? You want to worship the devil? You want to worship me? I give you all this stuff, all the riches, all the mountains, all the land, right? Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thy serve. Amen. You see, so how do we learn to fight in a warfare? You learn to fight it with God's word, right? So when the enemy comes to you or comes against your home, right, how do you fight it? Do you stand and just get overwhelmed and lay in your bed and cry? Or do you get in your prayer closet? Do you get in the word of God and you start claiming victory over the scriptures and over? And that's how you fight this battle, right? That should already in the back of your mind be your plan, right? When things happen in my life that I don't like, where am I going to go? What am I going to do? I'm going to get in God's word, right? I'm going to get in my prayer closet, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to seek God, right? Because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but he also comes to lie to us. You know, one of the other Satan's strategies to leave this next generation defeated is fear. You see, that's a weapon that he uses, is fear. And if he can control you with your fear, right? Fear is a primary weapon of the enemy, right? 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 says, fear not. You see, God doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but of sound mind, right? He don't give us a spirit of fear, but so many of this generation walks around in fear. It's almost like, how many of you have ever imagined how a lion attacks its prey in the prairies, right? The lion, do you think the lion is the fastest in the prairie? No, it's not the fastest animal in the prairie, right? But his voice roars in the prairie so loud that it brings fear to the gazelle or fear to the animals, where they almost lock up and they're like, oh no, I don't know. And they paralyzes them, and then the enemy overtakes them. How many of you know that it's the same tactic that the enemy uses today? If he can make you fearful, the what ifs, what's going to happen, what's going on, I don't know how this is going to work out, I don't know what's going to do, I don't know. If he can make you fearful, he's already got you defeated. Because why? Because it paralyzes you. Paralyzes you. It keeps you stuck right where you are. Right? Sometimes God calls us to step out and do great things. I can remember when God first called me to preach. I was scared, right? The enemy was speaking to me. You're not good enough. You're a dyslexic farm boy, right? There's no possible way you can do this. But you see, I got news for you. I felt defeated this week. How many of you have ever, just when you're sitting there and you're praying or you're thinking about something and you totally feel defeated? You feel like there's no way that you can do anything. You just feel defeated. That's a lie from the enemy, right? That's a lie from the enemy, and we need to rebuke that thought. The Bible says, take captive every thought. Take captive every thought. So when you start thinking those negative things and you start thinking, oh man, I'm already defeated, and that's that lion roaring to get you paralyzed to think, I can't do that, right? I can't sing in the choir. Oh, I can't. I'm not good enough, right? I couldn't preach God's word. I can't. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't do it, right? It paralyzes you. That's how the enemy uses it. That's him roaring. But the Bible says, fear not. You know, I was thinking a little bit in Scripture, and I know I got to hurry, but I was thinking a little bit in Scripture where when Peter walked on the water, you see, Jesus called Peter. I'm going to just paraphrase here for just a little bit. Jesus, he sent the disciples out on the water, right? And the waves, and they took on a storm, and the waves are high, and it's crazy, and the weather is bad, and they're in the midst of a really bad storm. How many of you have ever been in the midst of a really bad storm? And I don't mean a physical storm, but I mean just a storm in your life where you don't know if you're going to make it, right? Right? Where you don't know. You're just like, Lord, I need your grace. This is an attack from the enemy. Do you understand me? This is an attack from the enemy. And we can understand how to overcome the enemy if we understand God's word. And if we start declaring God's word over those storms, right? And that's what we have to learn to do. We have got to come up with a battle plan. You personally have got to come up with a battle plan. When the enemy comes against you, what are you going to do? Right? But I'm going to tell you one other thing. I'm tired of sitting back and just waiting for the enemy to come against us and then attack him back. But I'm ready to be, instead of on the offense, I'm ready to be, instead of being on the defense, I'm ready to be on the offense. Amen? I'm ready to start taking back what the enemy stole. I'm ready to start taking back what the enemy has stole, because I've sat back too long to see people defeated by the enemy and just wait until he destroys us, right? I'm ready to go stand up and say, you know what, Satan, you have no power over our homes, our churches, and you are already defeated. And start claiming the word of God. You know, this week alone, I felt completely defeated. So I'll give you just a little background information here. So this week, I'm taking a course through our CGMA, The first assignment, okay, the first assignment left me feeling completely stupid. I'll just be real. And I read that first. If you want to read the first assignment, if you want to dig in, you want to see what I'm talking about, go read the new or go read the King James preface, right? It's like 20-some pages or 19 pages. And if you've never read it, good luck, because maybe you can understand something that I couldn't. And I read it, and I was like, and I told my wife, I said, I'm too stupid for this. There's no way I can possibly take this class. There's no way I can pass. He's making it so complicated. There's no possible way that I can do it. And you know what? I was reminded a little bit of scripture. It says we have the mind of Christ. You see, we can let the enemy defeat us in our own minds. Most of the time, the battle is won or lost where? In our minds, right? You have first got to make a plan that when the enemy attacks, that you know how to fight it, right? That you know how to fight it. And then once we know the plan, we don't have to be victims no more, right? We can be victorious, but we can take on new ground, right? We can say, devil, you're not going to be in our church no more, right? You're not going to be in our families no more, right? Devil, you have no power, and then you can start claiming, and you can start walking by the word of God. And you can start fighting the battles before they ever even take place, right? So we know that he is a liar, a thief, a stealer. We know that his plan of attacks are the same today as what they've been for eternity, right? If he'll tempt Jesus, he'll tempt you. He'll tempt you to get caught up in sin, to go down the wrong paths in life. He'll get you tempted. That's how he destroys you. So, you know, sometimes he destroys us through our minds of telling us we're not good enough, and we're, you know, the devil's speaking, you know, you're not good enough, you're trash, you're not. And then other times he actually tries to destroy us through actual our own sinful nature, right? Where we go out and we do what's not the obedience of God, right? So we can find ourselves being defeated because we've not been obedient to what God has called us to do. Amen. You know, today I just wanted to tell you that we're at war. You know, when the United States goes to war, you know, it's just a few days past the September 11th, right? 9/11. You know, and I don't know, some of you kids probably wasn't even alive yet. Some of you may have been. But you know, our president gets on there and he declares war, right? You know what? Tonight, this youth pastor is getting to this pulpit, and I'm declaring war. I'm saying it's time to strap up, young kids. It's time that you stop being defeated. You hear me? It's time you start operating out of the gifts and callings that God has given you and not be defeated no more. It's time that you take back over your schools. You know, the schools can say, oh, we can't have church in there. We can't have God in there. Right? You can't bring your Bible to church or to school. Right? They can tell you all those things. But you know what? They can't stop you. Legally, they can stop me from coming in and preaching the word of God. They can. But they can't stop you. But the enemy's going to say, oh, they say separation of church and state. I can't bring my faith into the schoolhouse. But that's a lie from the pits of hell. That's a lie from the enemy, because you can. You have every right to, and you can. And you should be. Right? When you sit down at your mealtime, you should say grace over your food before you eat your lunch. Right? When somebody sees you, you should have your walk in Christ be manifested in a way that people know that you're different than everybody else. They should say, you know, there's power there. There's something different there, right? Because they shut me out, but they can't shut you out. See, so we perish. Why? Because of the lack of knowledge, right? But if we know the truth, the Bible says the truth will set you free. The enemy has pulled out all the stops. on this generation. He said, I'm going to confuse them. They won't know what they're doing, right? I'm going to rob every young boy of his masculinity and show that he can't be a real man, right? I'm sorry, but that's an attack from the enemy, right? I'm sorry, it's an attack from the enemy. Boys, God made you a boy. Girls, God made you a girl. He made two sexes, and that's it. And when you kids start declaring it, you say, you know what? This is the word of God, and I'm going to live my life by it. And when the enemy comes to tell me lies, I'm going to say, nope, that's not true, Satan. You can't fool me because I know better. And then you start fighting against what he comes against you to. I'm taking too long tonight. If our worship team will come up tonight, I felt like this generation is at war. And I felt like tonight that you have got to wake up, because I can put my boots on and go to war, but I can't do it alone. Amen. You see, I need some good men and women and young generation kids to say, you know what? I'm in this. I'm tired of the school systems saying all this junk and teaching our kids all this. And guess what? I'm going to put on my backpack. I'm going to put on my gear. I'm going to equip myself with the word of God, and I'm going to declare it as true. And when we as adults and young kids together come together and unify and say, you know what, Satan, I rebuke you out of our homes, out of our schools, out of our lives, that's when we see revival. That's when we see this generation wake up. Absolutely.